choose is Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
All right, we're going to talk about the word covenant. Covenant means agreement. Simply put, between two or more parties involved in whatever the deal is. Two or more parties involved with whatever the deal is, they enter into a covenant. It's a legal agreement between parties. It's binding, we could call it that. And there's three important ones that you need to know in the Bible. The first covenant that needs to be brought up is the covenant of redemption. And let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for this time together in your word. Bless these thoughts to our heart. We love you today. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen. So the first covenant in the Bible is the covenant of the Trinity. It's called the covenant of redemption. And this is where the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit got together. And because of foreknowledge, because God foresees things in the future before they happen, they had a definite plan in place before the foundation of the world, before the world was created, before Adam and Eve ever fell in the garden. There was a plan already in place for redemption because of foreknowledge. And Acts 2:23 is the key verse on that. And it says this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and through the foreknowledge of God, whom you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. So Jesus was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but because of the foreknowledge of God, there was a definite plan in place, and this was all part of the plan. The crucifixion and the murder by lawless men was all part of the plan of redemption. God had it in place. Christ was already, the Father planned it. Jesus Christ volunteered to be the one who would go and be the sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit then said that he would take the gospel, the good news, and take it into all the world through the church. But in Revelation 13:8, referring to the unsaved, all those that dwell upon the earth will worship him, meaning Jesus, whose names, and these are the people that will be doing the worshiping, their names have not been written in the book of life. These are not saved people. They are not written in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain in God's heart. In God's mind, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, before the world ever existed. Jesus has, because he said he would, then as far as the Father is concerned, it's done. If Jesus said it, it's a sure deal. It's going to happen. So Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation, and there was a definite plan because of the foreknowledge of God, foreseeing the failure of men, and that the plan was in place to redeem us. I mean, God had a choice. He loved us, and he could have either lost us for eternity or he could have executed this plan to redeem us and to bring us back to himself. So the Father devised the plan, the Son volunteered for it, and the Holy Spirit takes the message into all the world and does so primarily through the church, primarily through believers. What we heard this morning in the outreach minute, people going and sharing their faith with other people that they don't even know, never met before, may never meet them again until we get to heaven. but we go and we share our faith with other people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit through the church and through you. And so this is called the Great Commission. And it's mentioned in Mark 16. It's mentioned in Luke 24. It's mentioned in John 20. It's mentioned in Acts chapter 1. And here in Matthew 28:19, it is the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that is the commission upon every believer and upon every church to be involved in that enterprise, to be reaching the lost, because that's what the Holy Spirit is here for, to reach the lost with the message of the gospel, to bring them to Christ. So that's the first covenant that's very, very important to us, that there was a plan in place and an agreement between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to redeem us rather than lose us. The second covenant is called a covenant of works. The covenant of works began all the way back in Genesis 2:16, where the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." Then in verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it you will surely die." So here's the covenant of works being introduced before the law, before Moses, before Mount Sinai, before any of that took place. The covenant of works was present upon the earth. And it basically, Adam's life was dependent upon his obedience to one command. He only had one. You would think he could keep one, but he only had one, and that didn't work either. Adam's life was dependent upon his obedience to just one command: don't eat from that tree. And to disobey it means to die, to obey it means to live. And that is the covenant of works in a nutshell. In Romans 6:23, the reward or the payment for sin is death. The payment for Adam's sin was death. And so death passed upon all men, we're told in Genesis 5:3, and all of us are born dead to God, separated from God. Dead means separation. When your spirit separates from your body, you'll be dead. Separation. But so the payment and the wages of sin is death. And so long before, as we said, Moses, Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and the other 600 commands in the Old Testament, long before that took place, there was the covenant of works between God and his creation, mankind. And then we know that the law did not determine in the Old Testament heaven or hell for people, though. The law did not determine heaven or hell. The law determined the quality of life you would live on the earth. You go into Deuteronomy 28 and those chapters where it says, if you obey me, all these wonderful blessings will happen to you on the earth. If you disobey me, all of these wonderful curses, not so wonderful, will take place in your life upon the earth. The law determined their how they would live on the earth, whether they would be blessed or whether they would not be blessed. What produced salvation in the Old Testament was faith. Go back to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and he was declared right with God. He was counted as righteous, meaning right with God. So, and that's in Genesis 15 and verse 6. So it's always been faith. Faith was the thing that produced a right relationship with God. The sacrifices produced a covering for sin in the Old Testament. And then, of course, the law would determine whether they had a blessed life or a not-so-blessed life. But under the pressure of trying to live up to the laws in the Old Testament, under that pressure and having the deadness of an old sin nature within you that was given to you by Adam, the fact that you're related to Adam, all of that was too much to deal with, and many of them rebelled against the law. Instead of trying to keep it, they just rebelled against it and went the totally opposite direction. Others tried to keep it for a period of time, but then were frustrated with their failures and gave up trying. And then there was a few who actually thought that they were living up to the tenets of the law, and they became Pharisees and religious types who looked down their nose at other people. They had self-righteousness. So in any case, the law, the covenant of the law, didn't produce a good fruit. It either produced a rebellious person, a person who gave up and quit, or a person who was self-righteous and judged other people. So under the covenant of the law, there wasn't a good result. And the result wasn't to be that anyways. The result was to be in Romans 3:19 that the whole world would realize their guilt before God and cry out for Jesus. I mean, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so that was the purpose of the covenant of the law anyways. But to be saved in the Old Testament, it was faith. It was faith. And in 1 Corinthians 15:56, Paul pointed that out about the law. He said, the strength of sin is found in the law. The strength of sin is in the law. You put pressure on people to conform, and they're going to be frustrated and quit. They're going to become self-righteous if they do it, or they're going to rebel against it. But the strength of sin is found in the fact that you put people under the law. Now, Jeremiah gave them hope. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, gave them hope of a better way, and beginning in Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah told them, the Israelites, the Jewish people who were failing under the law, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a brand new covenant with you, and with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Remember that. The covenant, the new covenant, is going to be with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. So I took them out of Egypt and I gave them at Mount Sinai the covenant of works, more defined through the Ten Commandments and the other commandments. Everything was much more defined. I gave it to them and they broke it. They couldn't keep it. Even though I was a husband to them, they had a relationship with me. But they never utilized that relationship with me to keep the law. They simply faced off with the law on their own and failed. And so even though I was a husband to them, they never took advantage of my headship in their life. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So that's going to be my new covenant with them in those days. It's not going to be on tablets of stone. It's not going to be written out in a book of policy, handed out to every new person that comes into the church. These are the rules that you need to keep, and so forth. It's not going to be like that at all. I am going to write it on their minds and put it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Then in verse 34, and this is a reference to the fact that in one day the Jewish nation will turn to Christ, in Zechariah, talks about one day they will all turn.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986.